I'd like to convene the finance committee. We do have a quorum present now, and we have the minutes of April 11th in the packet. Representative Mahoney, have you had a chance to review them?
Much like Representative Hausman yesterday, I have reviewed through them, and I find them in perfect order, Mr. Chair.
And so you would move their approval. Okay, the motion is before us in discussion on approval of the minutes. Hearing none, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Saylor, House File 854, dealing with the video display device collection, transportation, recycling provided. Just for the information of the members, as we announced yesterday, and I did consult with the minority leader, Marty Seifert, about adding this to the agenda today. The goal is so that this could be passed into law and signed by the governor on Earth Day. So Earth Day is when, Representative Saylor, you told me before, and I keep forgetting, but it's
April 22nd is Earth Day.
April 26th, so...
Second, 2-2.
Oh, April 22nd, okay. So that's why we've added it to the agenda this morning, and Representative Saylor, if you could present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
To have a member of the division move adoption of the division report. Do you have anybody? Well, I'm on it as ex officio. So Chair moves House File 854, the video display device committee report. Any division report? Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I will be very brief because I know that most people have heard quite a bit about this bill already. We've been working on it for the last 5 years through the task force, and it's been pretty thoroughly worked out. I do have a couple of amendments which I would like to move first and then just briefly go over the bill, if that is satisfactory.
Okay, these are author's amendments. Then.
Correct.
The first one is A6.
That's right.
Okay, Representative Saylor moves the amendment. We would explain the amendment.
Okay. This amendment has some technical fixes in it. Just simply, as you'll see, several times it changes the date, or the month, rather, of August to September, and that's to allow for sufficient time for reporting. It does have a couple of changes in here with regard to the formula, changing from 0.8 to 0.6, and that's the percentage that the manufacturers would be returning, or not returning, but recycling. And then also, we added a few more changes, again, after working with and understanding some of the questions that manufacturers had. We put in a formula which allows for manufacturers that recycle less than 50% of their product are paying 50 cents a pound. It'll be 40 cents a pound for manufacturers who recycle at least 50 but less than 90% of product, and 30 cents per pound for manufacturers recycling at least 90 but less than 100%, which gives, you know, it sort of helps them out a little bit. And then we had some of the other changes were just having to do with how the money is, the accounts are set up for the Pollution Control Agency, the path for the revenue. And again, some more changes that simply were technical and changing August to September.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain. There's a delete there's a bill and a delete everything amendment in the packet, and there. I'm not quite sure what we're dealing with.
As that's we announced when we moved the amendment, the one that's before us is the A6, which is an author's amendment.
I know, but...
And then there's one that Representative Eckhart requested to be distributed, and I assume he'll be moving that a little bit later.
Right, okay.
we're at the stage right now, we're just getting the bill in the order that the author would like. So any further discussion on A6? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Taylor?
Yes, and then the second amendment is the A7 amendment, which is one actually that was proposed by Representative Solberg, and that just is dealing with the direct appropriation to allow the legislature to look at this more thoroughly in 2 years. It sort of is have this amendment on a number of other bills and wanted it on this one as well.
Okay, is there,
so I'm agreeing to just incorporate that.
Representative Taylor moves the amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. That brings us to the bill. If you could walk us through the bill, and then my voice holds up, we'll take the Hackbarth Amendment after you're done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, briefly, last year the ban went into effect for basically your monitor device, your computer monitors and TVs, all those dead electronics that are kind of loading up in people's garages and basements. At any rate, there was a ban that was put in place. Unfortunately, the legislature did not provide a program for collection and recycling of these devices. Many counties have created some sort of a recycling program. Many others have not. Some of these programs charge fees ranging from about $5 to $30 per computer, sometimes more. And, of course, owners have often been rather surprised when they showed up at the solid waste stations and found out that they had to pay a large fee. And in some cases, we're just simply told to take them home again and wait until something was figured out. So, at any rate, we know that these wastes are building up in people's homes, basements, garages, spare rooms. This bill provides for sharing of responsibility for disposal between residents, counties, cities, and manufacturers. It encourages the free market to develop recycling business at the local and state level to work with manufacturers and to keep government intervention at a minimum. We have covered products, which include computers, the peripherals, DVD players, cassette recorders, all the things that basically have to do with electronics and computers. We have, this bill provides for registration where manufacturers who sell electronic equipment to households, again, this does not pertain to businesses, it's only for households, in Minnesota, must register with the PCA. They label each device with the manufacturer's brand, pay an initial fee of $5,000 the first year, and in future years that fee is $2,500. Collectors, the people that are collecting the devices, register with the PCA beginning September 1 of 07. Then they renew their registration annually. Those who operate as recyclers also must register with the PCA. And retailers that sell the equipment, make sure that the manufacturers of the products are registered with the PCA. And the agency will have a website. The agency being Pollution Control Agency will have a website with that information. The recycling program gives the manufacturers of electronic devices three options. They can create a collection and recycling program as part of the Minnesota operations, or they can arrange for the recycling of electronic devices with counties, private recyclers, solid waste companies, and nonprofit organizations. Or if they choose not to set up a program themselves, they can pay to the Pollution Control Agency the 50 cents a pound for the electronics itself. As for the amendment that we did change, those that have those manufacturers who recycle less than 50% of their target, and their target is the amount of materials that they sold the previous year, they will pay 50 cents a pound for every pound under target. And for those who have been successful in recycling 50 to 90% of their target, will be paying 40 cents a pound for anything that they don't manage to, you know, collect short of the target. And for those that are over 90% but not quite 100%, they'll pay 30 cents a pound. Each manufacturer that sells the products must collect and recycle an amount proportionate to the weight of products sold in the state the previous year. And at one point, when this bill first started with the task force, couple of years ago, it was a ratio of 1-to-1. The manufacturers would sell one, they would be responsible for recycling one. As information was gathered nationwide and around the state regarding the amount of product to come in, that was adjusted down to 80%, and then with my amendment today, we reduced that further down to 60%. So rather than recycling at a 1-to-1, it's a 1-to-60% ratio. Also, there are incentives for collections outside the metro 11 county metro area where manufacturers are credited at 1.5 times the actual weight of the devices, which again allows for incentives to move out beyond the metro area where the transportation is a little bit easier. And money, you know, where that goes is the annual fees and the additional payments are made to the Department of Revenue, which deposits them in a new electronic waste account. The legislature makes appropriations from that account to the PCA for the cost of implementing the program, which will be grants to rural counties to help get this program up and running, and also rural private companies. That is very briefly the bill, and I know that you want to move things along in this committee, so... if there are any other questions.
I was going kind of fast when we got started here, and Lil reminds me that she's been keeping me on track that we had to move the bill. So Representative Saylor moves House File 854, the first committee in Grossman, recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Waste and Means. So the motion is now passed. And then we did have the Hackbarth Amendment. Any members have any questions at this point before we take up the Hackbarth Amendment?
Mr. Chair, two questions. One is the custom and usage now has been when we have new fees that the tax committee get the bills, and I'm wondering why it would not go to the tax committee. There's all sorts of revenue increases and fees in the fiscal note. Or is Ways and Means planning on re-referring it to taxes?
No, let me interject. I asked Representative Saylor some time ago when the bill was first considered for being heard to check with the chair of the tax committee, and the feedback at that point was that she did not need to see it. I have had a conversation with Representative Saylor this morning and requested that she double-check. And until I sign the report, the bill will be in the possession of the committee, and Representative Saylor will be checking with her as we proceed with the other bills. And if the chair of the tax committee takes a different position and wants to see it, then we will reconsider the motion. But we're basing it on a conversation about a couple of weeks ago.
That's right, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So I hope that, and if she wants to see it, we'll be sending it there, but there would be a motion later to reconsider it.
Okay. I just know that the omnibus ag bill went there, and what did they have, like two fees in it or something, and the entire omnibus bill had to go to taxes, and I was watching Representative Junkie last night get pummeled by the committee, and, you know, if that bill has to go there, I would assume this one, which is riddled with a lot more fees than that bill, would eventually go there. But I'm glad you're checking and following the proper procedure, Mr. Chair. The other question I had was in regard to what happens now, Representative Saylor. We don't have these programs in place, all the bureaucracy, all the fees and so forth. If my television quits on me tomorrow in Lyon County, what do I do with it? And it's the old Roger Cooper question, if anybody ever served with Roger, why? Why do we need this bill if, what, you know, if my television quits on me tomorrow and we have a place to go for it, why set up all the people, all the bureaucracy, all the fees, click your heels 3 times, you know, all the things that we're trying to set up here? If what we're doing now, if there's a place for this stuff to go other than the road ditches, what are we going through this process for? So I guess that's the question I have, is if my television quits on me, where would I go, and what's the problem with that?
Representative Saylor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert. I'm not sure exactly what Lyon County does. I know what many of the counties do, so to answer your question directly, if your TV or computer dies tomorrow, call your county. to find out what's happening. Hopefully after we pass this bill, the answer will be somewhat the same, but it'll be a smoother transition for you, the resident. The situation right now is that with the ban in place, when Minnesota residents, homeowners, have computers and televisions, which we kind of call VDDs or video display devices, they're not allowed to go into the landfills. And so if you bring it into your county right now, your county may charge you a fee. It may be $5, it may be $15, $20, depending on the size of the device. The large TV consoles can range from some counties $20 and others $50. It just depends because of the size. At any rate, so when you bring those items in, currently what has happened that because of the ban in effect and no other system for collection, the counties have had to deal with all of this. And in some cases they have raised their solid waste fees, which go on to your local property taxes, because the counties have had to deal with these things. And they come in the ditches, you know, the local highway folks or whoever is out, you know, picking up ditches, do routinely come in to our solid waste stations around the state and bring these items that have been left in ditches. And they're also trying to deal with the complaints from homeowners that have these devices mounting up in every room in the house in some cases. So anyway, what we're attempting to do with this is to make sure that the counties are not left holding the bag, as it were, at the end with the sole responsibility for how to get rid of, you know, and how to recycle these materials. And, again, every county is different. This bill does not say that, you know, doesn't tell the counties what to do with regard to telling them how much to charge or how much not to charge. There is still county discretion. We believe that counties should have some flexibility there within their programs as to how they run those. But right now, there's a lot of disparity around the state. Some counties don't even accept them at all. Others do. Some have charged. So we have a lot of disparity, and it ends up being a property tax issue in many cases.
Okay. Mr. Chair, then thank you. Representative Saylor, then ultimately, we used to dump these in the landfills, I assume. I mean, Lyon County has a lined landfill. I don't know exactly why we ever decided that all these other things go in landfill, but these can't. But what physically happens to the television sets then? Do they dismember them and recycle the parts? Do they incinerate them? Do they, if there's a ban on landfilling, what physically becomes of the television? Do they stockpile them somewhere?
Mr. Chair and Representative Seifert, good question. What they do with these computers is they are recycled. They are dismantled, demanufactured as it's termed. The lead-based components, which are what you'll find in the monitors, it can be 4 to 7 or 8 pounds of lead in each TV monitor, depending on the size. And then also there are other components of cadmium, lead, and other metals in all of the components within the CPUs. So what they do is take all of these components apart and, you know, pull out the wiring, pull out the hard drives, pull out the fans, sort those all out, and they are all recycled where appropriate. There are businesses that deal with this, and there will be more. It's the intent of this bill to certainly encourage private business to have more of the recyclers dealing with this. Furthermore, kind of to answer your question about not putting things in landfills, there are a lot of valuable components. There's a lot of gold in some of those. And when we are, it just doesn't make any sense to be throwing away things, you know, gold into the landfill, not to mention the materials which might at some point in time leach even if there would be a liner problem. So we're looking at recovery of resources as well as preventing pollution.
Representative Earhart.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to try and answer Representative Seifert's question about what would he be doing with TVs that are non-functional and computers and so forth. And I always thought that out in greater Minnesota, you had already discovered what to do with those. As I drive down the highway, I see the old car and the old refrigerator out in the back 40, why not just put the TV and the computer out there with them?
Mr. Chair, actually, we do that in some places. I don't think we're supposed to, but in some of the farm places, you'll see a whole array of things out in the grove, hidden very carefully behind certain trees and whatnot. But I guess we're trying to get away from that now. So, I appreciate the answer. I thought you actually gave a good answer for what becomes of the products and stuff. But I guess it's just a question of who pays the bill, and ultimately the consumer is going to pay it. I would assume whether we're going to make IBM pay it through a fee, and then they pass it on in the price to higher TV sets. I guess the other thing, Mr. Chair, is my understanding is the federal government's mandating a change in how televisions are operating on a certain date after the 2008 elections, no doubt, when everybody's going to be ticked off at Congress. There's going to be a big run on either getting in some type of a conversion device or a new television, and I wonder if there's been any assumptions built in that there's going to be thousands, if not millions, of televisions and converter boxes and things changing hands when that happens. I don't know what the date on that is or if you know anything about that, but my guess is Congress conveniently put the effective date to be after the election, so maybe you know when the effective date is, knowing how they operate.
Representative Taylor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Secret, I don't know the exact date. I know that it's in 2009. I'm sure I can find that exact date. Actually, it is the day after the Super Bowl. I guess everyone can speculate as to what that would be about. But
Representative Perry, is that what you were going to point out? Or?
Mr. Chair, I did know that date as well. And Representative Seifert, is actually the Republican Congress that passed that and pushed it out a few elections away just in case to be safe. But
yeah, and what happened to them?
you perhaps know better than I. We have Representative Anderson next. Okay. Representative Hollis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that Representative Sertich would agree with me that in answer to Earhart's question about where the TVs are put, 37% of my district is seasonal rec owners, and we usually find them not very far from the cabins of people who have seasonal recreational property up there that probably live in Edina. Pretty nice televisions that are dumped in the district.
I'm glad you said Edina rather than
I was very careful, Mr.
North, those suburbs. That's right. Okay. Representative Solbert.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seifert, I had this experience because this fall one of my TVs burnt out. I thought, well, I'll be responsible and take it to the transfer station, and the fee for me was $35 to get rid of it. Now, I could have done some irresponsible things and phoned a big dumpster to put it in, or put it in along the road ditch. And it, quite frankly, you know, with that kind of a fee associated with it, that's what's happening, is that we are finding, and it ends up to be then on the back of the taxpayers in the county if we end up having it in the road ditch.
Okay, any further discussion before we go to the amendment? Seeing none, then Representative Hackbarth had distributed an amendment that should be in your packets. Representative Hackbarth, the amendment that I have here is A070678.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that's my amendment, and I'll move that amendment.
Okay, the amendment has been moved. Representative Hackbarth, if you could explain the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I actually go to the amendment, I'd have a question, or maybe a couple of questions for Representative Saylor. First of all, yesterday and today, we've heard Chairman Carlson talk about that you'd like to get this bill passed as soon as possible so you can get it to the governor so he can sign it on Earth Day. And I'm wondering who at the governor's office you've been talking to or who you've been dealing with to make that arrangement.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, we have some other folks on the committee have been working with some folks from the governor's office. We're not going to be thinking about signing this on Earth Day on Sunday, but we would like to do it as soon as possible right around that event. because we would like to be doing something with some of the local recyclers, and we just thought that that would be an appropriate time to be moving that ahead. So we're going to be figuring out exactly what date, but we would like, that is a goal to have it by Earth Day, because it seems to make sense for this particular bill to move it along at that point.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Taylor, I just wanted to point out the fact that here we are rushing this bill through when we've got so many other omnibus bills to get done. And I talked to staff at the governor's office yesterday, and I also talked to governor's staff this morning. You might have heard my cell phone ring when the committee was just starting, and it was the governor's office, and they don't know anything about finding this bill near or on Earth Day. So I just want to point that out to the committee. Members, we heard some talk today about the bill, taking that the counties now have sole responsibility for taking some of these electronics back, and that is incorrect. There's a number of programs, a number of companies out there already that are taking these things back at a fee, like Representative Solberg pointed out. And also, if you're taking these to the county now, or to a recycler, there is a fee attached, and this bill does not stop that. This bill does not put a stop to the fee, and it does not put a stop to the county or any other local unit of government collecting a fee. So that fee could still stay in place, and it does not prohibit a county from increasing a fee for taking back one of these televisions or a computer monitor. So there are some things that are being said here today that are incorrect. Members, there's been a number of different proposals out there to try to handle this situation. This bill and this issue has been around for 5, 6 years, 8 years, I don't know what it's been. And we've been trying to deal with it and trying to negotiate with the retailers and with the manufacturers and the recyclers on what the best way to do this is. Representative Taylor's bill is not the best way to do this. There's a number of ways of doing this. This is a market share plan that I don't know anywhere else in the entire country is doing this plan. This is a convoluted plan to build bureaucracy at the MPCA and to collect revenues for whatever reason that I don't even know why we're collecting the revenue. It's a manufacturer's punishment bill, and it's the wrong way to go. The amendment that I have here is a return share plan, members. Does things a little bit different, makes things a little more fair for the manufacturers and the retailers and the recyclers. My amendment is a plan that's been adopted in the state of Washington and the state of Maine. There's other plans out there. I have another amendment here, Mr. Chairman, that North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, and Massachusetts are looking at and probably going to adopt. Different plans for different states, not so convoluted, not convoluted with these weird and wacky mathematical formulas put into statute. Formulas that the Department of Revenue is going to have to deal with figuring out how many pounds of televisions are collected. The Minnesota State Department of Revenue is going to have to figure out how many pounds of TVs and computer monitors are being collected by different manufacturers to charge those manufacturers appropriately. I don't understand that. Members, I know I've tried to do other amendments on other bills, and I've not been very successful on this committee. I know that the Republicans are outnumbered 2-1 on this committee. Some of them are even probably on the side of Representative Taylor's bill, and I understand that. They've been sold a bill of goods like everyone else. The governor probably is going to sign this bill. I don't know why he wouldn't. I'm not sure that he likes the bill or if he doesn't like the bill. Members, this is the wrong way to go. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my amendment because I see the writing on the wall. I know that we're not going to have the votes in this committee to do this. But I do have a number of other questions that maybe I'll save for the floor, maybe have some other amendments and have some other alternatives for the floor when this bill gets there. And members, this is punishing the manufacturers. It's punishing the consumers in the state of Minnesota. That's what this bill is about. It's not about recycling or not about saving Mother Earth. This is about punishing manufacturers and the consumers, and the consumers are going to pay for this in the end. It's going to cost more to buy a television. Manufacturers are going to pass this along to the consumers. And remember, the TVs are still going to end up in the ditch. You're still going to end up paying a fee if you want to take it into your county. You're still going to end up paying a fee if you want to take it to the local recycler. There are going to be other companies developed around this bill that are going to go around and collect TVs for the manufacturers. They're not going to be able to meet the ridiculous goals that are set in this bill. So they are going to be charged extra fees because they can't meet those goals. We heard testimony in Representative Wagenius' committee that even the city of Minneapolis, who collects these things for free, all you have to do is put them out on the curb and people will come along and collect them and it's no charge. That's already in place in the city of Minneapolis. And Hennepin County, I should say, they're still only collecting 10%. And I think it's even less than 10% of what's out there. They cannot meet the goal even in the city of Minneapolis where they're collecting them for free. So, members, this is a ridiculous bill, and I would urge a no vote.
Okay, amendment has been withdrawn. Any further discussion on the bill? Representative Seifert?
Mr. Chair, I saw Representative Lencheski come in. Representative Lencheski, we had a conversation when you weren't here about all the different fee increases in the fiscal note. There's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 page, and it's double-sided. I witnessed briefly Representative Junkie's bill, which had to go to taxes last night. We drug an entire omnibus bill to taxes. And I know that right now the custom and usage and the precedents and of course state law now defines fees as revenue increases and they should go to taxes. Why this bill would not go to the tax committee when the ag bill had to go to the tax committee, amongst other bills that have fee increases in them?
I might, Representative Lencheski, bring you up to speed as to what the previous discussion had been. And I'd shared that with the committee, but when the bill was first posted a while back, I asked Representative Saylor to check with you to see if you needed to see the bill. And at that point in time, I was told that you didn't think you did. But I indicated to the committee that based on that conversation, we had a motion to re-refer it to Ways and Means, but that before I signed the committee report today, we would be double-checking with you to see if that was still your thought process. So I guess he's asked you now to either confirm or request the bill. And the reason that it's here today, so that you have a bit more information, is that the goal of the author is to have the bill passed into law and signed by the governor by Earth Day. That's why we added it to the agenda, and so it would be moved along a little bit faster, so it would be done by the 22nd. So just to bring you up to speed, and if you care to respond.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Seifert. The decisions that we've made, I guess, a number of us in the majority on these omnibus bills is that it's best to just for this year move them all through taxes because every single one of them has fees. Some have tax implications. Representative Seifert, you know that historically about half the omnibus bills have moved through taxes as they always do because they usually have levies and things like gas tax increases, things like that. But now we're seeing them all, and I think what you should know and members should think about, and I think we'll be discussing it in Representative Kahn's bill, the legislation that was passed bipartisanly last year with Representative Krenke as the chief author, Senator Pogamiller in the Senate, that made a tax a fee, has now created a new issue for the legislature. How should we deal with these? And historically, many taxes have, or all taxes have come through taxes, and even some fees. We're now at a kind of a different standard, and I think we're all sort of trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with this. So rather than moving every single individual bill through taxes, some of us made the decision, let's have the omnibus bills go through. Now, there are many fees that are true user fees. Others go to special revenue funds. Others are just paying for a direct cost, and some are actually trying to raise revenue. So as I've been trying to read the bills, I've tried to think that through. I did talk to Representative Saylor and did not feel this needed to go through taxes. But to your issue on the fiscal note in the job B debate last night, the tax committee, as you know, Representative Seifert, is interested in revenue estimates, not fiscal notes. And we are trying to get our colleagues bipartisanly to not view the tax committee as an appropriations committee. Fiscal notes we're not particularly interested in. We're actually interested in revenue estimates. And those are changes for the state system of taking revenue or losing revenue that it once took. So because this was a fiscal note, it didn't concern me. It seemed to be something for an appropriations committee, and I'm open to commit to this committee's decision on what it needs to do, but I did not feel it needed to go to taxes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, real quickly, Representative Teske, I saw the revenues on the front page under the Environmental Fund and PCA listed at 400, and you know, it's not a super big deal to me. I just think there should be some custom and usage and some credibility to the process. When we have people say, fees are taxes, taxes are fees, vote for me because I'm not for fee increases, blah, 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 and we've been hearing it in this committee and on the floor, except when we're in the majority and then fees are okay. I just want some consistency of outrage that if we are against fees, that and when you were in charge, there were billions in fees and there were all this other stuff. Look, I don't like these fee increases when we were in charge or when you're in charge or whatever, but I just want to make sure that if we do have revenue increases, whether it's called a fee or a tax or something, the fact of the matter is the Krenke Pogemiller thing is in law, and now it looks like you're trying to get it out of law now that you're in charge. So now fees aren't taxes anymore, apparently. I'm just respecting the bipartisan work of two very moderate lawmakers that obviously worked very well together, and the Pogemiller-Krenke issue is in statute and sight. I just think that the way this looks to me right now, for consistency's sake, that we've been here for 40 minutes on this bill, and we're going to be done here in about 2 minutes. I don't see why. We're going to start ramming bills through because of some special day, and there's a special day of the week. Are we going to do your bill on May 1st because that's the day that everybody celebrates redistribution of wealth? That's what Covina's Day. Okay. But, when they have the parades and all those kind of things. So, are we going to pick just arbitrary days and say, well, we're going to skip the process because we want to get it signed by the day before Seifert's birthday? I think we should follow the process, and if this is an important bill, then mark it up real quick for a half an hour on Saturday, and that's at least my thought, because I don't think there are a ton of individual bills with fees in them. This is one of them. There are some omnibus bills, but frankly, when I looked over a lot of the bills that are coming through the docket that are heading through the process, I don't see an enormous amount of bills that have fees in them. I saw the ag bill, I saw a couple others, but I just think your committee should look it over, and if I'm on the losing end of that, I guess that's just the way it is. But just by doing this over an arbitrary date, I don't think is a good enough reason for it, especially when the governor's office has said one way or another that they're looking for that.
Representative, as I announced yesterday, I scheduled it because of the goal of getting it signed by Earth Day, and I understood that the governor's office was in play, and as you know, I did consult with you about bringing it forward and fast-tracking it, sharing with you the same information that I had at that point. So I had assumed that you were okay with moving the bill forward on a faster track, but if you have reservations about that, I can understand. Representative Kahn.
Well, I hate to take the position of agreeing with Representative Seifert, but I do think as long as that item is in law, I don't think we have a choice. When you look at the combination of the law and our rules say that everything that concerns taxes has to go to the tax committee. My inclination, and I don't, and I think it can go very fast through taxes. So I'm not sure that, as I said, I've given what my opinion of the position put in place by my Senator Pogemiller and my good friend Representative Krenke. I've expressed my opinion about that in my bill. But while it exists, I don't really feel we have a choice. But
Mr. Chair, any Representative Lenchesky.
Thank you, Chair and Representative Kahn and members. The cranky Pogaviller legislation does not say it has to go through taxes, so I want to be clear. That is not what the legislation says, and it just says that taxes are fees, and because tax bills have always gone through taxes, now fees are taxed. You all know that sometimes even a tax has not gone through taxes. For example, in the omnibus transportation bill, we carry things like gas tax increases. In the health bill, we carry the provider tax. In the K-12 bill, we carry all kinds of levies. So the actual new rules adopted by the House doesn't, if you read them, does not say everything must go through taxes. It gives the chair discretion. So I just want to clarify that the chair, in current rule, the chair has discretion. And I did choose not to, but the will of this committee is what will happen.
Representative Stolber. I'm just going by the list here now.
Mr. Chair, there's also, we should probably read what the law says on that, and there is an exemption for the law, and it says that if a fee is for a particular service, related to a service, that is not a tax, because there is that exemption in there, and I would classify this as a classic exemption that's in the law. They're directly related. It's not a fee to raise revenue that we put in the general fund, like the health impact fee was to put into the general fund. But this, the law says that there is a definite exemption for this type of.
And Representative Solberg and I have had this conversation for a variety of reasons early in the session so that there would be some understanding about the law and what it meant. I don't know if Mr. Marks could get us off quickly or not. But Representative, you can get it? Okay. Let's see. Representative Sertich, did you? Okay. Representative House?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clear up a little point. It was mentioned earlier that maybe a few Republicans might support Saylor's bill, and were sold a bill of goods. I am a Republican that will vote for her bill, but I was not sold a bill of goods, nor did Representative Saylor buy my vote.
Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Hancock.
Thank you, yeah. Chairman.
Look at the last thing about the question about the.
Representative Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, it was said that there was some dealings with the governor's office on having this bill signed around or on Earth Day, and that is incorrect. I have to say it again, it's been said again, that there has been no negotiations with the governor's office on having this bill signed at any particular time. So this bill could go to taxes. There's been no negotiations in that regard. And I'm representing...
Senator Ackbarth, what, if you're referring to my comments, I said based on the information I had.
I understand.
I wasn't countering you one way or the other.
I understand. But there has not been any negotiations in that regard. The governor's office has not talked to anybody about this particular bill. Mr. Chairman, and as far as the fee that's in this bill, I'm not sure where this money is supposed to go. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be spent on, Representative Solberg, if you're saying that this is a fee and it's directly related to a service. Where's the money in this bill going? I'm not sure what we're going to be spending the money on.
Representative
Saylor could answer that question.
Yeah, the author wanted to comment. Representative Saylor.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbart. There's actually only one fee involved with this. I'd like to clarify, and that's the registration fee, which is $5,000 the first year and then goes down to $2,500 thereafter. And that is the only piece that is actually even remotely close to a fee, because that's the piece that is the money that comes directly from manufacturers and goes out to the PCA and to the Department of Revenue, and then also to the counties. And that's the important part, is that it goes out to counties and cities that are dealing with this through a grant program to enable them to put in place the infrastructure that they need to collect and make sure that these items are recycled. So, because what was happening without that is the counties were left having to try to figure out, in some cases, you know, do they have to add a loading dock just simply to deal with, you know, the volume of materials, because not every place had that in place. But at any rate, it is to allow for the infrastructure of collection. And I would also just like to remind members that this is basically, the language in this bill is basically what came out of the task force that Representative Osment led so well for the past number of years. And we've just basically improved the bill by working with all of the shareholders, and we've really come out with some things that have helped the manufacturers. We have, as I said before, when we got new information, we actually reduced the ratios so that there would be less for the manufacturers to feel that they were having to pay for. I wanted to just mention that, you know, we did a number of compromises working on this. The counties have backed off on, they kind of preferred some consolidation points and required some pickup statewide, which isn't happening anymore. We're looking at, we also reducing the recycling requirements measured against sales. So we have worked with all parties, and again, I just remind that this is basically the language that came out of the task force with a large number of stakeholders, bipartisan group working on this. This is also the same language that is going through the Senate. Senator Higgins, who has the companion bill, she and I have worked very closely together, and we are hoping to, we've been working, as I said, closely so that each step in the Senate or in the House, we move ahead with the same amendment so that our bills are identical at this point. So, and I spoke with her just yesterday. She was pleased to hear that we were moving along as well. So, I think that we are ready to move. I mean, everybody's probably heard all they need to hear about e-waste over the last 5 years. And I would also just like to mention, to in response to Representative Seifert's comment about changing over, that has been changing over, rather, the TVs from analog to digital. That has been a big consideration for all of the folks involved with this, because there is a big concern about just exactly how much stuff is going to be coming back in, and of course, with it being after the Super Bowl, how many are actually broken. So, at any rate, thank you.
Okay. Members, you're now. I asked Mr. Marks to get a copy of the law that defines a tax and a fee, and I referenced after Representative Solberg's comment, reminding me of a discussion that he and I had earlier about the law, because it did involve. In fact, I think Representative Lincheski was part of that discussion too, if I recall. Because it did deal with the relationships of the three committees that this would primarily involve, finance, taxes, ways, and means. And as Representative Solberg pointed out, there is a follow-up sentence here that deals with what we're perhaps talking about here this morning. But for the benefit of those in the audience that don't have a copy of the law, a fee or a tax. It was defined that a tax means any fee, charge, exaction, or assessment imposed by a government entity on an individual, person, entity, transaction, good, service, or other thing. It excludes, and this is what Representative Solberg was referring to in the conversation that I and others had had. It excludes a price that an individual or entity chooses voluntarily to pay in return for receipt of goods or services provided by the government entity. So, you know, the first sentence is a rather strict interpretation. The second sentence, a service. When I originally had the discussion, and I don't know if I don't remember if Representative Rucavino was part of that discussion or not. But another interesting one that comes up then is tuition. Now, tuition is a fee for a service, and you pay that voluntarily. So then would tuition drive a certain direction of a bill going through taxes or not? My interpretation reading that sentence is that it would not. But I'm not the only one that makes those decisions. It's not a unilateral one because it does involve two other committees and their jurisdictions. So what I have done is try to, when these kinds of questions come up, and Representative Saylor would be a good example of that, when she and I first talked about a hearing on the bill, one of my very first questions was, are there any fees in it? She said, yes. We talked a bit about that, and I said, well, be sure you check with the chair of the tax committee to see if she needs to see the bill. And that's the way the meeting started, and now Representative Lincheski has been here and has commented in person on it. What we were trying to do with this bill then this morning, going back to the whole issue of Earth Day, and without saying whose goals that may or may not have been, it is at least the goal of the author, I know that for sure, that the bill be put through the process so it could be signed on or about Earth Day. And so that's why we brought it forward here this morning, and after my conversations with Representative Saylor yesterday, went right away to the minority leader and explained what I understood the situation to be, to give him a heads up before we even announced that we were going to add it to the agenda. So we've tried to cover all of those bases. There's always going to be a little tug of war and differences of opinion from time to time about committee jurisdictions and referrals, and not revisiting all history, but there have been times when Representative Kahn and I in our history have had some pretty good discussions about certain jurisdictional issues when I had the Education Committee, Division of Finance, and she had State Departments, because sometimes there were some issues that overlapped a bit, and we had to negotiate some of those kinds of things out. So it's not any different here this morning than it has sometimes been in the past in terms of who does what when and all of that. A lot of times the committee chairs handle these things informally, and I know for a fact that that was true with the now minority when you were in the majority, because sometimes I was part of those discussions dealing with legislation that I was interested in or following. But enough said on that. I think this was a good opportunity, though, to have a discussion about the whole question of tax and fees. And later today, there will probably be another discussion with Representative Kahn's bill, which tries to address this whole issue. We do have some people. I'm going to take you in order, and I do have you, Representative Foles, on the list, but Representative Kahn is next.
Yes. Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, having read the rule, which I'm sorry I should have done before I opened my mouth, I withdraw my objection to it not going to taxes on the grounds that the last paragraph in the rule gives discretion between discussion of the chairs, and that apparently has happened, so that follows. So the rule has been obeyed. So I think the bill can go directly to the names.
Representative Kahn, that's why I referenced the fact that you and I have had those discussions, and a couple of times pretty lively, if I recall as well. Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I did see that item D gives taxes, ways and means, and finance chairs to advise the speaker, and that certainly is an escape hatch on something like this. But the paragraph above that does say if there's a substantial impact on tax revenues, tax policies, it should go to the tax committee. And, you know, if there's $14.5 million of impact in the second year of this, I just, Earth Day aside, I think the tax committee is meeting on Saturday. It can go on the blue sheet tomorrow, get referred to taxes, go on the blue sheet Monday, go to Ways and Means. There's really not going to be a time frame difference here. It's just, I'm just looking for some consistency, and I know that you got sticklers on the tax committee that on both sides, frankly, that probably want to see it, but I'm not going to raise any more ruckus with it. I just want to have the discussion that if it's that kind of money, I don't think it's chump change that we're raising here, and what I witnessed with the Ag Bill and some of these other ones with substantially smaller fees going there. Just a case in point, there's not a lot of bills that have a lot of fees in them, so I didn't see that this was going to derail the train at all. If Representative Lenchesky can fit in, we've talked about the jurisdiction for 25 minutes now, but you know, if she can fit in 30 minutes on Saturday, I don't think it would change anything because of the referral process and her meeting on Saturday anyway.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm probably going to get in trouble with my leader, but I'm not going to follow my leader on this, Mr. Chair. I am a member of the Tax Committee, as you know, and as I read the language that we'll be discussing later in Representative Towns' bill, there's nothing voluntary about this fee. It's being assessed, and we're raising millions of dollars in revenue for the state. And so, Mr. Chair, I'm going to suggest, and at the appropriate time, whether that's now or whether it's just before we vote on this, I will be making a motion to refer the bill to the Tax Committee. I hope that the members of the committee will vote with me and support that motion. I do think that may avoid an issue on the floor and save us some time on the floor. I know we want to get off the floor and get to committee. And I think Representative Seifert's right. Representative Lachesky's having a hearing today, tomorrow, and Saturday, as I understand it. We can get this bill done and to her committee and follow the process. I recognize I read the House rule, and while it may be an escape hatch, this bill does raise substantial revenue. And so, Mr. Chair, I guess I look to you. I wish to make that motion. I want to make it at the appropriate time. We don't have to do it right now, but we could end the discussion now. I don't know if there's other discussion on the bill, but
I only have one other person that's indicated they want to comment, and I was going to call on the author. So, if you would like to make your motion now. I think what your motion probably would be, the motion that is currently before us, is to re-refer the bill to the Committee on Ways and Means. What you'd want to do is amend that motion or make a higher motion to move it to taxes, and that would be in order either now or after I recognize Representative Pepin.
Feel free to recognize
her. Hey, Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment to the committee that I just want to make it clear that there has been no agreement. The manufacturers who are affected by this are not in agreement with this. They feel they've been left out of the conversation, and I just wanted to state that on the record to be very clear that there isn't a peace in the valley. So if we vote for this, just be known that the manufacturers have been left out of the picture. And then I have a question, I guess, for Representative Saylor. That just because I'm not on the committee, I'm a little confused about. Representative Hackbarth earlier had talked about where the money was going, and you'd said it was going to grants the MPCA to go to recycling programs. Is that in the legislation, or how is that earmarked in the legislation in here? Could you point me to that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pepin. Yes, if you refer to actually, on page 10 of the bill, it explains basically the agency and department duties about where they will be reviewing the following variables, which talks about where the money go, and also to review and make sure that things are kept up to date. And also,
Mr. Chair, could you point me to the
to the line that you're referring to?
Okay. 26.
I guess I was talking about too many things at one time. I wanted to explain something about the revenues, but also I would refer you to page 7, creation of the account, 7.1, 7.2 through 7.6. For the electronic waste account established in the Environmental Fund, the Commissioner of Revenue must deposit the receipts from the fee in that account, and any interest earned on the account must remain in the account. So that is where that explains that for you, Representative Pepin.
Chair and Representative Saylor, thanks for your patience with me. So this means then in this language, and I have time to go through it, that the money can't go anywhere else in the general fund except for to these grants? Is that what's outlined in this?
Mr. Chair, or Representative Pepin, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Holt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 854, the first committee engrossment, was there an author's amendment? As amended, be referred to the Tax Committee.
Okay, that motion is before us. I do have a quick question of Representative Wagenius. The comment that was made a short time ago about whether the manufacturers had input. This was a division report. I assume that there was an opportunity for people to come forward and testify before the division that you chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was surprised by that comment because there have been hearings in this started off in Representative Eakin's committee, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
And so there was a substantial amount of hearing there. Less hearing in the Finance Committee because most of the members had already had the opportunity. But there was a long opportunity and lots of discussion. And so I don't see how manufacturers can even begin to make that assertion. And let me tell you one other reason why I happen to be fortunate to be on the task force that was chaired by Representative Osmond and Senator Higgins several years ago that actually created the base of this bill. And the input there was substantial and over a long period of time. So there's been substantial discussion.
I just wanted to have that understood. I'm going to, just a moment. I'm going to, I just consulted with the Chair of Ways and Means, and he had had a conversation with Representative Lencheski. And quite frankly, the decision that the three chairs have made is that we're going to refer this to taxes simply to avoid a big argument on the floor. So I would suggest that members of the committee support the motion. We've been assured, Representative Saylor, that they will fast-track it, that it'll be added to the Tax Committee agenda soon, and Ways and Means as well, so that the ultimate goal that you had in mind when we talked about the hearing this morning will be met. And then there will be no questions on the House floor as to whether or not it should or should not have gone to taxes. With that, all those in favor of the motion to re-refer, recommend that, House File 854 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. Any further discussion? Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask Representative Wagenius, I guess. You said that there's a lot of discussion. Did the stakeholders, are you saying the stakeholders group of manufacturers signed off on this and they're approving this? Or if you could just clarify that, because it's my understanding that the affected manufacturers feel this is very controversial and that they are not okay with this bill in any way, shape, or form. So I was a little confused by your comments there.
Representative Wagenius.
My comments were that there was ample opportunity to testify, and folks did take that opportunity. But I think it's misleading to say that all manufacturers are in one lump here. For example, Best Buy, a retailer but also a manufacturer in this state, testified in support of this bill. And let me just ask Representative Saylor, I don't believe they've withdrawn that support.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, that is correct.
And Representative Lencheski.
I just wanted to confirm Representative Carlson, what Representative Carlson said, and Representative Solberg and I, we were trying to kind of have a conversation about the whole fee versus tax, and I just a couple of issues I wanted Representative Pfeiffer to know that I had made the offer to on the ag bill. If the Farm B, which was a tax bill, was removed, we would not have heard the ag bill. So it was really not the fees bringing the ag bill to us. But I do just want to say that, just so people remember, we had the health impact fee debate. It went to court. The court made a decision on the fee versus tax. The statute then followed between Representative Krinke and Senator Pogemiller. And I just want to tell you very sincerely to the minority, I'm trying to be extremely thoughtful in a bipartisan way about what should we do, and I am completely open to folks who have input on what the process should be. So there's no attempt to hide revenue. I'm personally not a fee supporter because fees are aggressive. So I understand all the good reasons that things may or may not go to taxes. And so I hope, at least for now, on this particular bill, which I think sets precedent for future bills with the Finance Committee, that people will understand that there is no strategy to keep anything out of the eyes of the tax committee. We're just all looking at a new statute and trying to determine how best to implement the new rule. Thank you.
Okay, with that,
final comment, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Ackbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had some talk here about the manufacturers, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, a number of different manufacturers came forward and are not in support of this bill. We did hear that Best Buy is in support, and they are in support. They are also a manufacturer, a small manufacturer compared to the many other manufacturers that sell TVs and computer monitors. They're not in support of this. This is going to be an increase in the product that you buy in Minnesota. Please vote no on the bill. Representative Lancheski, this is a convoluted formula that I think needs to be looked at in your tax committee, and I appreciate you taking a look at this. So thank you very much for that.
With that, all those in favor of motion to recommend then that House File 854 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now. We'll now go to the Higher Education Omnibus Appropriations Bill. Over here. Okay, this is a bill that went through Representative Murphy's division. So, Representative Murphy, would you move the division report?
I move the Education, Finance, and Economic Competitiveness Division Report for House File 797, Second Committee Engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Murphy, would you move the bill to put it before us?
Mr. Chairman, I move House File 797, Second Committee Engrossment.
The motion is before us. If Representative Rukavina then would take us through the bill.
Mr. Chair, being that I have the higher education and the workforce development, do you want me to take just go through the whole bill and then we can do the other...
We'll do the other motions after you give us an overview of the bill. That's what we've done with the previous one.
And Mr. Chair, I have an author's amendment, the A63 amendment, so should I do that to get the bill in order? I'll move the A63 amendment.
And it's just being passed out, Representative Rukavina, so why don't you explain it then as members are receiving it?
Okay, the A63 amendment on page one takes care of Representative Norton had a provision in the bill that dealt with speech pathologists that she decided it wouldn't do what she wanted to, so she has a proposal for another program. So it does that. There's a number of items in here relating to Representative Solberg's concern about statutory appropriation. So that's what the bottom of the page does. I had added $200,000 to a program that the governor had at the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the redevelopment fund. So the top of page two reflects all of that. Well, Mr. Chair, I'll wait.
Real Covina, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Sure.
There were two author's amendments that were distributed, and they have the same number on them. Just so I want to make sure the... Oh, was only one distributed? I have two here.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the correct one was distributed.
Oh, I did. Okay, the correct one was distributed, so yeah. we're okay. Go ahead.
Representative Mullery wanted some language added for a study for minorities and job opportunities. So I did that. I had a little extra money, and I did that on page two there. We have to clean up, again, for Representative Solberg, a nanotechnology fund that was in here from Representative Beard's bill. So that's doing that on the bottom of the page. The rest are technical changes, I believe, to the independent contractors and plumbers and pipe fitters bills that are in here. On the fourth page, again, you see some deletions in that. That's for the plumbers and pipe fitters language. There was a mistake in it. And finally, most of page four and five are Representative Bly's request for low voltage electricity because of changes at Department of Labor and Industry. He extends out a person who's had one of these licenses to be able to get grandfathered in. So that's the amendment. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, who's ever chairing, whether you want to represent Charles. I've moved the amendment, and I appreciate your support.
Okay. Representative Ucarina moves this amendment, or you could just incorporate it.
Well, I'll do that then, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I think I got a vote on it.
The new rules.
Yeah.
I was trying to use the old trick. Go ahead, Representative. Did you move your amendment?
I moved it.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair and members, I think I have a pretty good bill here. It has spent about $400 million over the last biennium base. I appreciate the fact that I got money to work with. I spent the first 4 weeks of Higher Education Committee listening to students from all the different institutions in this state, from all around the state, and it was the same story how tuition is really putting a crimp in their lives. They've got a full house mortgage and they don't own a house, and so we tried to do something about that. We listened to the faculty and some of their suggestions, and finally we listened to the administrators and state agencies in the committee. The bill puts almost $46 million over the next 2 years in the MINSCU system. MINSCU had proposed a 4% increase over the millennium in tuition. This should hold it to 2% and 2%. We gave the University of Minnesota about $24 million for tuition relief. Part of that is a new program of $7 million for setting up a scholarship program for middle-income students coming from middle-income families that the university has pledged to match 2 to 1. We put 60 million dollars of new money into the, or not new money, by reallocating, and some of the governor's proposal for new money into the state grant program. That's going to actually serve more students, provide larger individual grants. We increase the living and miscellaneous expenses, and we heard about textbooks and the problem with textbooks, so we have a pilot program in here to try to solve that problem for $1 million. We funded the technology requests at both the university and the Minsky system. Gave the governor some seed money of $2 million to start to look at his ACHIEVE program. And there are a number of bills in here, members, dealing with the emerging biotechnology industry that Representative Mahoney heard the policy on. We funded $38 million for the University of Minnesota's Mayo Collaborative down there in biogenomics, $2.2 million for the Biobusiness Alliance, $2 million for Minnesota Technology for small business growth. There are a number of programs in here for members. Every Republican that had requested a hearing and had a program, I believe that I funded part of their programs. You know, we had heard from faculty when they were in front of the committee about their concern for a shortage in the health care industry. So we put $20 million over the biennium for health and workforce and clinical science programs at the university, and $3 million at Minsky for their allied health curriculum initiative. We funded the GI bill the governor requested at $10 million a year. And members, there were a lot of programs in at the Department of Employment and Economic Development that either expired or were cut considerably. Like the Summer Youth Employment Program was scheduled to expire at the end of this biennium. We continued that. We looked at programs in Minneapolis and St. Paul for youth employment opportunities. We did the governor's request on extended employment programs for individuals with both disabilities and mental illness. It really is, I think, a good bill, members. I haven't heard that much complaining from anyone. Well, I take that back, one of my buddies, but you know, I mean, that's the way it goes, and I really think that it's a very, very good bill that addressed a lot of the concerns that we heard over the course of our committee. So, I do replenish the part of the 21st Century Minerals Fund that the governor took back in 2003. So, with that, members, I stand for any questions.
Okay, Representative Rukavina, there are some amendments here. We can take some questions now or wait until after the amendments are completed.
Chair, Representative Cole? Whatever you're saying.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, I'm looking through the spreadsheet here trying to make sure I understand what we're doing kind of on a macro scale. If I'm reading it correctly, the net effect on the general fund for this bill versus what the governor had recommended, you're about, is it $60 million higher net? Is that correct?
I believe that.
Representative Rukavina? About 16. Maybe Mr. Burton,
yeah.
Can just come forward. Or
yeah, that'd be close.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, not specifically, again, kind of at the 30,000-foot level. Where
I've never been up that high, but...
well, okay, in your case, at the 10,000-foot level...
Yeah. One-foot level.
Big picture, where are those differences coming from? What are the big differences between your bill and what the governor recommended?
I fully funded inflation on both the University of Minnesota and Minsky campuses. You know, when you don't do that, either programs get cut or tuition goes up. I did the tuition that I mentioned, both the $45 million in the Minsky system and the... approximately $24 million in the university would be a bit of a difference. But I think probably the main difference is the inflationary adjustments at Minsky and the university, among with some other littler funding projects for both the public institutions.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, any significant differences in the workforce side of this? Take Minsky and the university out of it. Let's talk about the other programs you're building.
I did not spend, Mr. Chair, I did not spend any more money in the out of the workforce development fund than you guys had done the last biennium. So that's about the same. The only difference would be the $25 million in the 21st Century Minerals Fund.
Representative Cole. Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, just talk about that briefly. What are you doing with the 21st Century Minerals Fund? How is that different than what the governor recommended, if you could?
Well, the governor promised, but he never kept his promise, so I kept it for him.
And what are you doing with the money?
It's going back in the 21st Century, Mr. Chair. Representative Cole, back in the 21st Century Minerals Fund. We've got a number of projects that were set to take off. One said they really didn't want to cut that $50 million when they did it a few years back. You were here, you remember that. And the governor and I believe Representative Swigum said at the time, and Representative Gunther, that if there were other projects really came along, they put the money back in, but they didn't. And there's a number of projects ready to go up there that we feel the money should be put back into the fund.
Any further discussion on the bill? And if not, we'll begin to take the amendments. The first amendment I have is A070724 by Representative Polowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the amendment. I want to thank Representative Rukavina for hopefully accepting this amendment. This amendment comes about as a result of Minnesota's workforce councils across the state. And I was talked to over the Easter break, and Representative Rukavina was also contacted, that the Department of Employment and Economic Development is presenting a plan that will dramatically change the designation of the workforce service areas, and that would impact a number of areas across the state, including southeastern Minnesota. This amendment would simply allow that there would be some local input into whatever that plan is going to be before it goes into effect. So that's the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I think it's a good amendment. I appreciate I just accept it if I can. Or if we
yeah, well, it's a two-page amendment. Is that, yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
it's double side. Okay. The representative, any discussion then on the Pulaski motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. Representative Greiling, that's the next amendment. That's A64.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A64 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this amendment, there already is independent contractor language in the bill, and this would add recorded actors and actresses into the protection of having a civil remedy for if they need to bring a case for a violation of a civil action. So it's just a basic protection that other union workers have, but actors do not. It conforms actually with federal IRS rules, but they're just not being followed in Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, the Department of Labor has been working with, I think it was Representative Nelson, the bill in here on independent contractors for home construction purposes, I believe. This would be another area that they should be concerned with, so I accept, I like the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. It's in the package. So A61 is not being offered. I guess that was the correction. So members, you can pull that one. And that means the next one up is Representative Seifert, H-O-797-A-5-4. Representative Seifert.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what this does is it strikes the language on changing the Minsky Board of Trustees to add more people to the Minsky Board. I think I'm the only person in the legislature who has served on the Minsky Board. I was appointed as a student member, the first student member back in 1993, as a result of legislation carried by Representative Carlson at the time. So very ironic that he added student members to the board, and then I got appointed, and it's his fault that I'm in the legislature now.
In the same year I was elected.
The governor can appoint members of the AFL-CIO through the regular process. If anything, the board is, I think, large enough the way it is, and members by specifically getting people, and I'm maybe the only member of the committee that's a card-carrying union member, I'm a Teamster, that to give specific seats, I think, to the unions in a situation where this is the management, the board, who is actually bargains with the employee groups. You have to remember, on the U of M board, we don't have a specific seat, although it has been tradition or custom and usage that there's kind of been a union person. The faculty at the U of M is not unionized. The U of M faculty is a group that the Board of Regents kind of works it out, and they don't have the compelling interest. On the Minsky side of things, there are numerous numbers. I think they're unionized at UMD, Representative Murphy, but not at the main campus.
And Crookston.
And Crookston. But if you look at Minsky, every employee has bargaining units and so forth. And to me, to have specific union members that are on one side of the table, that are on the negotiating committee with negotiating with people who are doing their salaries, I just, you know, I don't know how much sense that makes, but like I said, the governor can put people on already, and it would just make sense to me to leave the board the way it is. It already is rather large at 15 members, and I'd move the amendment. I'm not going to ask for roll call, but would just would ask members to think about this a little bit.
Okay, the amendment is before us.
I'll let Mahoney be my union thug on this one.
Representative Mahoney.
It's nice to see my other union brother.